The following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, today I'm really excited to have each and every one of you here. We are launching a brand new series this morning entitled I Am Jesus. I Am Jesus. Now, I'm not standing up here saying that I am Jesus. I know that I'm not. I know some of you have probably met some people who promised they were Jesus, but you, when you spent a little time around them, they really weren't. But no, I am not saying that I am Jesus. But we're starting a new series that basically what we're doing is we're looking at three of the seven I am statements that Jesus made found in the Gospel of John. And so today, if you want, in your service guide, there is also an outline that you can follow along with us. If you've got your Bibles, you can pull them out. We're going to spend most of this service in John chapter 10. Or if you prefer your portable digital device to follow along, that's also an option for you as well. But our key verse for today is John 10 and 11, John 10 and 11. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Everybody say the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Now the gospel literally means good news. And so it's good news that Jesus, the good shepherd, was willing to die for us in our place. And the fact that Jesus pointed out and the fact that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, implies that there are others out there that aren't good. In John 10, we're going to go right to the beginning of that chapter, verse 1. Here's what Jesus said. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. Now, Jesus was talking here not literally about shepherds and the pen where the sheep were kept, but he was actually referring to our spiritual enemy. We have an enemy this morning, and his name is Satan. He is the prince of darkness. He hates God, and he hates people. He wants to destroy everything that is good. And I think most of us here in this room this morning would admit that there is a major power of evil working in this world that's destroying a lot of good things. You know, there's a lot of people who are sick, a lot of families who are falling apart. There's a lot of marriages that are in trouble. There's a lot of kids out there that are making bad decisions. And I believe that the root of these things that are going on is this thief and the robber that Jesus was talking about. Jesus tells us very clearly the mission of our spiritual enemy in the same chapter, John 10:10. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, though, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Imagine this, the creator of the universe, he loves each and every one of us so much that he desires for us to have a rich and satisfying life. Other versions of this same scripture we just read said his desire is that you have life to the fullest. That's what he wants for me. That's what he wants for you. So we're going to go back to our key verse. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now who are we in this metaphor? Well we are we're the sheep. In scripture, sheep are the most commonly mentioned animal. In fact, you'll see sheep mentioned in the Bible some like 200 times. And so we are the sheep. And I'm here to tell you this morning, unfortunately, that's not very good news. Well, why? If you know anything about sheep, sheep are some of the stupidest animals on planet Earth. You know, you think about it, you can go to a circus and you see all sorts of trained animals, you know, like trained donkeys and trained dogs and trained elephants and trained cats, but you'll never see a sheep in a circus because you can't train them. They're too dumb. In fact, the only way that you can make a sheep play dead is to literally shoot it in the head, and that trick only works one time, right? And then it's game over. You can never do that one again. They are incredibly ignorant creatures. And so of all the creatures on the earth, isn't it comforting to know that that's who Jesus, compares us to. I'm here to make you feel really good about yourself this morning. And so I want to give you four challenges of being a sheep. And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to follow along with us and fill in the blanks. The first one is this, is that sheep get lost easily. Sheep get lost easily. How many of us have spouses that are directionally challenged? No one's brave enough to raise. Oh, I see kind of a half a hand here, right? Okay, lots of you have spouses that are directionally challenged. Sheep get lost easily. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's a verse in Isaiah. We're going to read it, 53:6, and it says this: all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. And so it's incredibly common for a sheep to walk away from the herd, walk away from the fold, and they say in their sheep voice, I think I'll go this way. You know, I think I'll go something over here is going to make me happy. And then I'm going to wander over there, and I don't know what to do. You know, I can't seem to make a good decision, just wandering around. And the reality is that is where many of us are today. We're doing our best. We're trying to really figure out this life, but we keep making poor decisions. We keep making bad decisions. It's because sheep without a shepherd get lost very easily. The second thing is that sheep are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless. This is really interesting to me. Almost every animal has some form of defense. You know, cats have claws. You know, many animals have fangs. You know, some have horns on the top of their head and they just run into you and just bam you and, you know, smack you over. You know, some can blend into the environment. Some are really fast and can escape. But sheep, they really can't do anything. They're really kind of defenseless creatures. If you were to attack a sheep, What would they do this morning? They would just say, back off. Okay, that was a horrible joke, all right? I know it's Time Change Sunday. That was horrible to do on Time Change Sunday, all right? Sheep are really, really defenseless. And can I tell you that on our own, without the body of Christ, without the full armor of God, without the protection of the good shepherd, we are extremely vulnerable to the tactics of Satan. So many of us as sheep, we're believing lies. And we're actually living a life that leads to death and destruction. Sheep are defenseless. Number three, sheep are very stubborn. Sheep are very stubborn. Somebody look at the person next to you and say, I think he's talking about you right now. Some of you, you're not going to do it. You're the ones I'm talking to. You're the stubborn ones right now, right? In fact, sheep are so stubborn that if they are walking like in a group and they come into like an area like maybe where a rock will come up and a cliff will come up on one side and it kind of narrows, they are so stubborn that they will keep walking side by side till they are completely wedged in and they will not go in reverse. Like they don't even know that they have reverse. They just keep walking, and they get jammed and they get further and further and further stuck. How many of you know somebody like that? You probably shouldn't raise your hand, right? Right? They keep making bad decisions, and even though they're stuck, they don't reverse and step out. They just keep going forward and making worse decisions. You know, kind of like the girl that's like, you know, I always get the bad guys. How many of you have ever talked to someone? They're like, I don't know what it is. I always just attract the bad guys. You know, all the bad guys come for me. And you're like, well, maybe you're fishing with the wrong bait, right? You know, like you keep doing the same thing over. You know, eventually you have to figure out why you're catching the wrong kind of guys. Or it's the person who's like this, you know, I'm out of money. You know, I'm in debt over my head. You know, I'm broke all the time. Why don't we go to the mall and talk about it? Right? It's just kind of like crazy thinking that shows our stubbornness. And that's the way that a lot of sheep are. Number four, if you're taking notes, is this: sheep are filthy. Sheep are filthy. That's not good news. In fact, you may say, well, I've seen fluffy, beautiful white sheep on TV. I can tell you what, they were power washed before they were on those commercials, right? They are filthy, and if you've ever been around a group of or herd of sheep, they stink to the high to the high heavens. They don't have the ability to clean themselves. And I want to say this as respectfully as I can this morning, on our own, that's the way that each and every one of us are in the eyes of God. You know, a lot of people will say, well, you know what, that person there, they're such a good person. You know, they're so good. They're just good people, right? But listen, in the eyes of God, there is not one of us that is good. We're dirty. We are filthy sinners. The scripture says falling short of God's standards. And so here's the bottom line. Why am I telling you all this depressing stuff about sheep? Is the bottom line is this, is that sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd, and we need a savior. We need Jesus, and without him, we are vulnerable to our spiritual enemy. And that's why it's really good news when Jesus said in John 10, he said, I am the good shepherd, so good that I will lay down my life for the sheep. Now what I want to do in the rest of our time together is I want to show you four incredible qualities of the good shepherd. And my prayer this morning is that God would help you connect these to your heart and apply them to your life. The first one, the next blank in your outline is this. What does the good shepherd do? He guides. He guides. Everybody say the good shepherd guides. The good shepherd guides. David said, talking about God in Psalm 23, he said, he renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths. Do you ever find yourself with this big decision to make? And you're stuck. You don't know what the right thing is to do. Well, there's a great assurance is that when we seek the Lord, he will reveal himself to you and he will guide you. Verse 3 and 4 in John 10 says this: the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And the sheep recognize his voice and come to him, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. He guides them, and this is so powerful. The sheep, they know. They recognize the voice of the good shepherd. Now some of you may say, well, I don't know the voice of the the voice of God. I mean, are you talking about, God speaking audibly to you? Like, this is God, or, however voice you use in your mind when you think God is speaking. Listen, God can absolutely speak to you that way. But God also speaks to us through his word, and you can hear him every day. That's why we talk so much here at the Lifeway, and we encourage everybody. We give journals away to do the SOAP Bible reading thing with us because God wants to speak to us daily through his word. God also speaks to us through circumstances. He can speak through people. He can speak through a prophetic message. God speaks in all different ways. And the sheep who belong to him, they have learned to know his voice. Well, some may say, I don't know his voice. Well, there's one of two reasons that you don't know his voice, and I want to give you this example. Imagine this morning if you were to walk blindfolded into a room, men, with 50 women. And if your wife's in there and I asked you, can you recognize her voice? If you responded, no, I can't, the reason is one of two things. Either you don't really know her, or you haven't spent enough time with her to know her voice. Because if you were to blindfold me right now and all started talking, and as long as I didn't fall off the stage, if I could get down and you guys all went around and started talking in a group, it would take me probably a minute, maybe 2 minutes at the most, to find Shyla. There's Shyla because not only do I know her by sight, but I've spent so much time with her that I recognize her by her voice. I can pick out her voice. And in the same way, if you don't recognize the good shepherd, then maybe you either don't know him or you haven't spent enough time with him to recognize his voice. And the good news is this morning is our good shepherd, if you're one of his sheep, he will call you by your name. He'll call you by your name. And this is one of the most amazing things to me, to know that our God is a personal and that he is a relational God. He calls you out by name. And I don't know about you, but when someone calls you by name, it changes everything. When someone calls you by name, it changes everything. There's a story told of a pastor. He's actually a pastor of one of the largest churches in America. And it was after service, and he was talking and greeting people out in the lobby. And as he was talking, he noticed in his peripheral vision this girl was walking towards him that he had met several months earlier. And pastors, you know, they meet so many people, and it can be difficult. It can be really difficult to try to remember everyone's name. And so as she's walking up, I don't know if you ever do this, but while he's in the discussion he's in, and then he's seeing what's going on, he's kind of having this discussion in his mind, and he's thinking, I know I met her, I don't remember her name. But just as she arrived up to him, God dropped a name in his mind, and so he just said hi, and before he could even stop himself, a name flew out. He said, "Hi, Sarah," and it just started coming out of his mouth before he could even stop. And when he said it, she just stopped right in her tracks. She just stopped moving, and all of a sudden her countenance changed, and she started to cry, and she began to weep. And so obviously this pastor knew that something was going on, and so he reaches out to her, and she said, "You know what, I've been thinking about taking my life. I feel so alone, like nobody cares about me. And so I thought this week maybe I just need to go to church and give God one more chance. And I told God, if the pastor can remember my name, then I know that God really cares about me. And I know that God knows my name." And listen, we have a God who is that personal. He cares that much for each and every one of us. He wants to reveal himself to you. And when he does, he will call you by your name. So if you have a difficult decision to make, you know, should I take this job in another city or should I stay here? You know, should I keep dating this person? Should we try to have more kids? Should we be a part of this church? Here's what you need to do. You need to tell God, "You said that you are the good shepherd." And what does a good shepherd do? He guides, right? So you are the good shepherd. My job is to follow. God, you show me, and I will follow. And what this will do is it'll take all the pressure off of you. It puts the pressure on him to reveal his will and his direction for your life. You guide me, and I will follow. The second thing that the good shepherd does is he provides. He provides. Our God is a good God. How many of you know that he is a provider, right? He provides all of our needs. In fact, Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, David, who actually was a shepherd in the early part of his life before he was anointed king, listen to what David said. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows." I just want to pause here. This is really great imagery. He lets me rest in green meadows. If you study the behavior of sheep, you'll find that sheep don't lay down very often. And the reason is that there are three things that a sheep needs to be able to relax and lay down. The first is they have to be well fed. The second is they have to all be getting along. You know, can't we just get along? Like, if they're not getting along, they won't relax. And then finally, sheep have to feel safe, or they just simply will not rest if they have all these things. But in the presence of a good shepherd, who leads them to green pastures, they're full because they've been in his presence. And if you spend time around God and in God's presence, God has this amazing ability. That's why we challenged you in the last series to pray with your spouse. He has this way that he breaks up fights, and he helps us all just learn to get along. Right? So some of us need the good shepherd to come into our homes and help bring healing and help bring forgiveness in our relationships. And when the good shepherd is present, they're not afraid because he is their defender. And so the sheep will rest, and they will actually lie down. And it goes on to say, "He leads me beside peaceful streams." Why peaceful streams? Because if there's rushing waters, the sheep won't drink from rushing water. Well, you say, "Well, why won't sheep drink from, you know, rushing water? If they're thirsty, why wouldn't they drink?" Well, when was the last time you ever jumped in the lake or fell in the pool with all your clothes on? right? What happens, right? You start getting drugged down. Well, can you imagine this sheep with all this wool? They fall right in the water and they don't have a fighting chance. They are like a huge cotton ball floating down the river, and eventually they just sink. They get so waterlogged they can't even keep their head afloat and they drown. So sheep won't drink out of rushing water. And so the good shepherd, what he will do is he will lead them to the right kind of water, so they can safely drink. And who is the right kind of water for us here this morning? It's Jesus. In fact, Jesus is the living water. And once we drink of him, Scripture says that we will never thirst again. He quenches that inward thirst so we can be at rest. And then the Bible says, he renews my strength. I love this. He's such a good provider. Another version of this says, he restores my soul, right? He restores my soul because he doesn't just provide for our physical needs. He wants to provide for our souls. You know, there are probably those of you in this room this morning where you've got everything on the outside that you need, but inwardly your soul is not at rest. You might be a sheep without a shepherd. Our good shepherd is so loving in his provision that he literally refreshes our souls. Inwardly, we can be at peace. And the amazing thing is that when you're a sheep under the care of the good shepherd, it's amazing how all hell can be breaking loose around you in your life. You know, you can be at the place where everything seems to be going wrong, and yet you have this supernatural peace that transcends the ability of anyone else that would be in your situation to understand. What is it? That is the presence of a good shepherd who is refreshing your soul. Your soul is at rest on the inside because he cares for you. So the good shepherd guides, he provides. And the third thing, if you're taking notes, is he corrects. He corrects. Everybody say, my shepherd corrects. All right, this may not be good news for some of you right now if you are the sheep that is wandering places you shouldn't be going. It may not be what you want to hear, but the shepherd loves you enough to correct you when you're wandering into danger. In fact, Job talks about this. He knew this really well. Job 5, 17 and 18. Listen to what he said. He said, but consider the joy of those corrected by God. Now can you imagine this morning if you're being, you know, corrected? You're like, oh, yes. You know, imagine going into work this week and you did something wrong and they just pull you on the carpet. How many of you know those aren't very fun meetings? But you, instead of just sitting there being all sad, you're like, yes, I love it. I love it. Your boss would look at you like, what in the world is wrong with you? But that's what Job is saying. Consider the joy of those corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. For though he wounds, he also bandages. He strikes, but his hands also heal. It seems like an odd thing for God to do, to actually wound someone and then bind them up. Have you ever thought about that? Why would he wound and then why would he bind up? There's an article that you can read if you research sheep and shepherds about what some of the loving shepherds will do with that little lamb that, you know, never listens, right? Some of us have kids. Maybe we should have tried. No, don't try this with your kids, all right? But these little lambs that would repeatedly wander off. You know, when a lamb would wander away, they were extremely vulnerable to predators. They were in danger of falling off, you know, cliffs and getting themselves into trouble. And so what this loving good shepherd would do when that little lamb would not listen over and over again is he would take his 2-foot rod, and with that rod he would literally strike and he would break that lamb's leg. And I know it sounds cruel, but then what that good shepherd would do is he would take that little lamb that he had just broken the leg of, and he would lift that lamb up and put that lamb over his shoulders, and he would care for him, and he would nurse that lamb back to health. And during the healing process, the shepherd would keep that lamb close to him. And what would happen is that little lamb would grow up. and he would become totally and completely dependent on the shepherd. And the lamb would learn the shepherd's voice, and he would learn that the shepherd loved him, and the shepherd would pet him. And over a lifetime, this little lamb that he actually hurt would become almost like a pet to the shepherd because he had been so cared for by the shepherd. And when that lamb was finally healed and grown, that lamb would never, ever run off again because he learned to know the voice and trust the shepherd. It's the discipline of God. I hope you're hearing me this morning. It is so powerful as I think about that, how much God loves us. I remember as a child, I probably wasn't more than 4 or 5 years old. It was one of the first times my parents had ever taken us down to the lakefront, kind of back behind the War Memorial Center and the Art Museum. It wasn't there at that time, obviously, but we were back in that area, and those of you, some of you know, that's where the big ships, when they do come in, we don't get many of them into Milwaukee, but they'll dock there, and so I remember being so excited that we were going to the lake, and of course, being a little boy, I thought, well, I'm going to be able to play in the water, and this is going to be awesome, and so as soon as they, you know, we got out of the car, and the seat belts were unbuckled, I just made a beeline. I was running as fast as I could. What I didn't know is that when right at the end of this, there was about a 12-foot drop-off straight into really deep water, and I was just tearing. And I remember one of the adults that were with us literally grabbed my arm, and it almost pulled my arm out of the socket. And I turned around and gave her the nastiest, ugliest look that I could. I was so mad at them. But what I didn't realize was that this lady was protecting me from a danger that I didn't even know existed. My mind couldn't even comprehend what a loving thing that she had actually just done for me. She had saved me from falling in and the possibility of drowning or getting in big trouble because she cared for me. And there may be a time when God lets us face the consequences of our bad decisions in order to keep us from making even more of a mess over a course of time. Now I'll be honest with you. No one sits around going, you know, oh, I think God is disciplining me. This is going to be good, right? Nobody does that, right? You know, when I discipline my kids, when I do something wrong, actually the best form of discipline is to take their, you know, internet and iPod and iPad and all that, you know, their computers away. They feel like they're, you know, like no arms and no legs. It's the worst punishment in the world. But when I'm doing that, my kids never go, oh, Dad, I'm so excited. I'm so glad you're disciplining. No, they don't do that. But here's what the scripture says about this. Hebrews 12:11. It says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful, but afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Our good shepherd is so loving. He loves us enough to correct us in order to keep us from further harm. He guides, he provides, he corrects. And then number four is this, he protects. He protects. Everybody say, he protects. This is what the Bible says in Psalm 23, starting in verse 4. David continuing to write, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. When he is with me, I have nothing to fear. When he's with me, I am at rest in my soul. Going on, it says, Your rod, it was a weapon that they used to scare off and to harm the animals that would come and threaten the sheep. So he says, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. The staff was a pole that had a hook at the end, and what the shepherd would do is he would oftentimes use that hook when a lamb had fallen down into a crevice, and he'd reach down with that hook and he would pull the lamb out. He would use it to help these sheep that were in danger. Verse 5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. You know, so many times we read through the 23rd Psalm and we breeze through it, and oh, well, this is kind of nice. But when you start seeing this imagery of the shepherd, it just brings so much more into clarity. And so what does that verse 5 mean? Well, sheep stink, like we said earlier. They're filthy. And if you've ever been around a farm and filthy animals, right, there are usually flies everywhere, right? They're just buzzing around. There's flies everywhere. And it wasn't uncommon for a fly to fly into the nose of a sheep. And I know this is gross, but what they would do is they would lay their eggs and the larva would hatch inside the sheep's nose. And these little larvae would get inside the nasal cavity and some of them wouldn't come out this hole, but they would work up inside the head and they'd work their way into the brain area. And what would happen is it would literally drive these sheep crazy. They would start going up to trees and just banging their head, or they'd find a rock and they'd bang their head trying to dislodge these things from their head, even to the point that if they weren't taken care of, they would literally kill themselves because they would drive them crazy. And so when David was saying, "You anoint my head with oil," he was actually referring to what we would call like an insect repellent. They would pour this oil into the nose of the sheep, and what would happen is it would suffocate these bugs and they would have to come out to get air or they would just die. And so the good shepherd says, "I love you so much that I'll even take care of what irritates you. That's how good I am. My cup overflows." There's a tradition in the Old Testament in Palestine homes where you were allowed to stay at the table. And when you were a guest in a home at the house of a host, as long as the host kept filling your cup back up with wine, as long as it was full, you were welcome to stay. But when the host let it run empty, it was time to go home. How many of you wish we had that tradition at our houses, right? Uncle Scott, don't raise your hand. I'm going to be at your house next week. He's like, "No water for you, Andrew. Just leave," right? Right? But this is what David said. David says, "My cup overflows." In other words, I'm always welcome in the presence of God. Going on, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." He protects me. Now, I just want to caution you, that doesn't mean that you'll never fall upon physical harm, right? But in spiritual terms, this means that God has stored up for you an inheritance that will never perish. A spiritual inheritance that will never fade away. There's a story told of a drama professor who was teaching his class. And he told his class, he said, "What we're going to do, we're going to do an exercise here." He said, "I want all of you to read the 23rd Psalm." And he said, "I'll go first." And so the drama professor was brilliant. You know, he's like, just all the hand motions. "Is the Lord is my shepherd." And he's just raising his voice and dropping it. And just all the great things in a delivery that you would hear a professional drama teacher teach. And so when he finished the whole 23rd Psalm, it was so brilliant that the students started applauding. And some of them even started, standing to their feet. It was a great performance. And then he pointed right to the back row, to the shyest kid who always just snuck in and sat just as far back, hopefully hoping that no one would see him. He says, "I want you to do it." Now this student was a Christian, but he was shy and he was scared to death, especially after such a brilliant performance. And so this student kind of timidly walked to the front of the class, and he was nervous. And as he started to read, though, something began to happen. The imagery began to come to life, and he remembered all the things that Jesus, the good shepherd, had done for him. And so he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And he remembered how God had provided for him and had provided for his family when there was a difficult situation and there was a difficult time. And as he's saying this, he begins to tremble. He said, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And at this point, he gets overwhelmed with emotion. And through tears, he could barely get through these six verses in Psalms 23. And when he got through, no one clapped. But everybody was crying. There wasn't a dry eye in the entire room. And the drama coach said, well, "There you have it. I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." Listen this morning, can I tell you, the good shepherd cares for you. In fact, Jesus told a parable and he said, if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, Because sheep are prone to wander. This is what the shepherd will do. He says the shepherd will leave the 99 to pursue the one. May I say here this morning that there may be somebody here that this whole message is just for you this morning. You're the one. You are the sheep that needs the good shepherd, and he's coming for you. He loves you that much. You know, if you feel like this morning, oh man, this message is for me. It's like God is speaking directly to me. Guess what? God is speaking directly to you. The good shepherd is reaching for you, and you are not alone. You are the one. And can I tell you this morning, he wants you to know him because he's good. He wants you to know him. He came so that you would have a rich and a satisfying life. He loved you so much that he would lay down his life so that you could know true love, so that you could know perfect love. I know that there are some of you here that have decisions to make. I promise you, if you'll seek him, he will guide you. If you seek him, he'll reveal his plan to you. Still, there are others that are here, and maybe you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but you feel like you're empty. Like everything is all right on the outside, but on the inside you feel empty. Listen, he wants to be your provider. He wants to restore your soul this morning. There are others who recognize, well, I've done some things and I'm facing some stuff. I've made some bad choices and I'm facing these consequences. But can I tell you, this is actually the goodness and mercy of God who's disciplining you. And I know it doesn't seem possible right now, but somehow if you will trust him, he's going to see you through this, and he's going to turn it around, and he's going to work it out for good. Some of you right now, you're worried all of the time. You're just worried. You're on edge. And listen, you need to rest in the presence and in the protection of the good shepherd. As we close this morning, some of you would acknowledge, just like the sheep that we talked about and kind of laughed about, that, you know what, I'm kind of wandering. You know, I'm kind of going from here and I'm kind of going to there, and I'm kind of looking for something that would fill this emptiness in my life. I've messed up so bad. Some of you think, you know what, I've done so many things wrong. How could he ever love someone like me? I think that's what's so beautiful about Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, because the good shepherd loves the sheep. Even though they're sinful, he laid down his life for them. He loves us so much that he did for us what we were incapable of doing for ourselves. He took on sin for us. He became sin for us, and he died, and he was raised so that anyone who would call on his name, the scripture says, will be saved. He'll leave the 99 to go after the one. Some of you right now, you'd say, you know what, that's me. I'm the one. Today I challenge you, just turn from your sins and just call on him. And when you do, he's going to hear your prayers. He's going to forgive your sins. He's going to make you brand new this morning. Those who acknowledge, yes, you know what, I'm outside of the flock. I am not in the family of God like I should be. But today I want to make a fresh start. Today I want to give my life to him. Today I'm going to trust Jesus. And today I'm going to make a new start. With every head bowed, every eye closed here this morning, no one looking around. We don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you walk up here to the front by yourself. But if you believe that God is calling you back to the fold, if you believe that God is calling you to return to the place that you once were, maybe you've never fully made that commitment to follow Jesus Christ with no one looking around, would you lift your hands today? Because I want to pray for you in just a minute. Is there anybody here that would make that decision? Thank you. There's a hand in the back. Thank you. Another in the middle. Another one here. This is the best decision that you could make. Anyone else? Thank you. Another hand here on my right. Thank you. This is the best decision. You can put your hands down that you could make. I wonder now, all together, if we'd all just stand up together in a moment, we're going to pray together. As you're standing, I challenge each of you to ask yourself this question. God, what are you speaking to me this morning? God, what are you trying to say? And after we're finished praying, we're going to sing a song together. We're going to spend some time talking to the Lord. In fact, in just a few minutes, we're going to have some leaders come down here to the front, and they're up here to pray with you. If you need prayer in any way, maybe you're sick in your body, you need healing. Maybe you've got a relationship need. Maybe you have a financial need. Maybe you need to be filled with His Spirit. If whatever reason that you have, we've got some people that'll be down here in just a moment to pray with you. And so I encourage you, just step down into the aisle once we start singing. But what I would ask you all to do right now is just lift your voice with me in prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know the right words to pray. And if that's the case, you can feel free to repeat after me or just say whatever words that God lays on your heart. But let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of all my sin.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.